Welcome to the University of the Free State Career Services podcast, where we talk to experts about the ins and outs of jobs and share tips that will give you a grip on your future career.
Hello and welcome. I am Kate Boone, and joining me in studio today is Sibahle Mabaso. She's a theatre maker and educator with an interest in using her skills to cultivate social change. She recently assumed a position as an assistant researcher at the Center for Teaching and Learning under the Transition Development and Success Focus Area. Before this, Sibahle has also had a fruitful career as a student leader, serving in her residence committee between the years 2019 to 2021. In 2023, she graduated cum laude with an honors degree in drama and theater, specializing in theater making and voice and speech from the University of the Free State. And she's currently pursuing her Master of Arts, specializing in gender studies. She has received several awards and recognitions, including Best Film Student, Best Artistic Achievement in the Drama and Theatre Arts Department. She's debuted her own production at the Performing Arts Center of the Free State, Parkhofs. She's also directed some small-scale works. Sibahle is not only a theatre practitioner, but a seasonal guest lecturer for final year students at the Drama and Theatre Arts Lecturing on an Introduction to Feminism and Feminism in Theatre modules. Out of all of everything else that I read about this lady here, I think my favorite thing about her is that above everything else, she's a trier. And that's someone who tries despite. I mean, giving up is never an option, right?
No, it's not.
So, Sibahle, welcome. How are you doing today, my lady?
Thank you so much. As Kate, I am doing very well. I am nervous, but I am going to sit in those nerves and just see how today goes. But I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much.
I'm glad that you're happy to be here. I'm going to ask you just some icebreaker questions before we start. Cool. One, what was the first song you listened to this morning?
The first song I listened to this morning was, and I was so intentional about listening to music. I don't know, but it was from my Umsindisi playlist, which was my gospel playlist, because I had a very rough morning. I got to work very late, so I had a punctured tire. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to be very intentional about how I start my day, even though I cannot remember right now.
Okay, it's okay. We'll give you that one. And then the second question I want to ask you, and this will just lead us into the conversation. How would you then define what a theater practitioner is?
A theatre practitioner to me, or the way in which I assume the role of a theatre practitioner, is someone that practices theatre, that makes theatre, that is open to all aspects of theatre, so not just directing, not just acting, but they are aware of all facets that have to do with theatre, and one that is often untapped is the proposal writing aspect of it, the administrative aspect of it. So yeah, that's a theatre practitioner for me, someone who is well-rounded in the field of theatre and is also open to working with other disciplines because our work is interdisciplinary. So yeah.
Perfect.
That's what I'm trying to be.
Okay. I love that. Now, before we unpack your career journey, just tell me about the best day in your career. When was it and what happened?
The best day in my career actually is going to happen today.
Okay.
So this evening we have the launch for the Freestad Kunstefeest, so the Free State Arts Festival. And I'm putting in one of my productions, which is Kanye and Her Golden Dream, which is a script that was selected to be presented at the Baxter Theatre last year. And the greatest thing about that is that I tried to submit a production last year and then unfortunately it had to pull out. But this time it got accepted and it got seed funding from the festival itself.
Wow.
So now this is an English show. It's a multiracial show and we don't get that often within the festival. So tonight they'll be announcing some of us who are in what they call the Fringe 3 or 4, which are artists that they're going to support with seed funding for their productions and mentorship as well. So it's happening tonight. I've had many days, but tonight is a big one for me.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. It sounds like a big one. Yeah. Congratulations
for
that.
Thank you.
So let's start by sharing your background. From where do you believe that your love for drama, theater, and the arts started? Was it your upbringing? Was it at school? Where did it all begin for Sibahle?
I think it had to be extracurricular activities at school. So from preschool, I remember my first like prominent role, I was Mr. Sun. And I enjoyed that, and I did that because everyone was doing that. So I was in little productions throughout primary school, preschool, and high school. And I thought that's just something that I like and something that I could potentially be good at. But it was only until my first year, because I did my first year in a different faculty.
Okay.
Yeah, before I changed to drama and theater, that I realized the urgency for me to go into drama and theater. So it's something that I did out of enjoyment and as a hobby. But then when I wasn't doing it, that's when I realized that that's actually what I want to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Yo, it sounds so like purposeful as well. So now that actually is where I want us to get into, because I always thought that's where you started, because it seems like you're so sure and so confident in your passion for drama, right? So when you started and came to the university then, and we're going to reflect on your journey when you started as a student, where did you start, or what did you initially get admitted for, and then what prompted the change then to move to drama? And clearly it wasn't a straight road for you, so just share and unpack that for us a bit.
It definitely wasn't a straight road. So I was on Kwakwa campus.
Okay.
I was enrolled for BEd. My majors were life sciences and English. Yes.
Okay.
And English. And it was FET phase, obviously. And I saw my friends. I had a lot of friends who, there's one specific friend actually, who was studying drama at WITS. And I would just see everything that they're doing in class and just how much she enjoys it. And I don't know what compelled me, because I've always, also my mom is a teacher. So I've always had that thing of, I also want to teach. So I was like, Spahle, you definitely should not be teaching other children bio. You know, you shouldn't be doing that because you never enjoyed that. But one thing you do enjoy, and that's still possible, you can still be a teacher, but you can be a drama teacher. So that's still a dream that I'm chasing. So I think within 4 months of me being in that degree, I was like, okay, I'm going to apply to move myself and I'm going to be a drama teacher. And I think that's where I will be more purposeful. Obviously, things change because you're still chasing that dream.
Of course.
But yeah, it was just, it felt urgent for me to do something that I love and to do it as young as I was at that time and not later on in life. Yeah, that's basically it when it comes to that. I still see value in BEd, in education. There's so much value there for me. But at that time, looking at my majors, I saw that I wouldn't be as effective or wouldn't be as giving if I did stick with life sciences.
Okay, so you also mentioned in your bio, when I read it out, that you're someone that tries despite and how multifaceted also drama is. And I think it explains that you're currently pursuing your master's in gender studies. So what also, you know, led you to look at the interlinked you know, relationship between drama and theater, and then bringing gender or a gender aspect into that?
I think it definitely had a lot to do with my research project that we undertook in my honors, because it had a lot of feminist themes and a lot of feminist theory. And I was fortunate enough that the senior lecturer at the drama department then said, okay, because you're doing your research and you want to teach, go into the classroom and see how you can test that out with the final year students. And then when it was time for me to then enroll for my master's, I said, you know what? These themes are popping up a lot in my work, and this is what I'm passionate about. And this is what people know me as being, this, you know, hyper feministic person.
Yes.
So why not try to marry the two? Because my works do address issues surrounding LGBTQIA plus community, surrounding women, gender equality, and social justice, right? So I was like, why not go into gender studies and just challenge myself and see how those two marry each other? Because we do have components of feminism within our drama classes as well, because we do go through ideology. So that's kind of the thing that informed my decision to marry the two, because I can always go back to drama and practice. But at the end of the day, I know the kind of work that I want to produce, and I know the kind of work that I want to make and who it should speak to, basically. So yeah.
And that's a theater practitioner spoken like a true one. So let's travel through time and reflect a bit. Let's say you didn't pursue drama and theater. You know, ultimately then decided to just stick it out with the B.Ed. Or you didn't do anything else in the arts. You know, I might be challenging you a bit here, but let's forget about all of that for a second and tell me, what else do you think you would have liked to do? Is there anything else you think you would have liked to see yourself do?
I would have liked to go into nursing or psychology. Mm-hmm. I think I've always had a thing for helping people. I just didn't know that I could still do it through my art. Mm. And it's something that I'm finding out now, that the direct impact is not healing someone physically, yes, in a hospital, but it can still happen through the work that I do. Mm. So I would have liked to be a nurse, but also I'm so sensitive. So someone told me that you're so sensitive that you would be so hurt throughout your career because you take on those things. But definitely anything that has to do with helping people. I'm actually quite interested in social work now. But I'm like, okay, I can't go through that. It's so many years of school.
We still have time, please.
There's still time.
And
yeah,
you are a trier, so you're at least going to try, right?
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Now back to real life. What would you say makes you good, or makes you a good theater practitioner?
Whatever a good theater practitioner is. I think what makes me recognizable, because good is, how do we measure good?
Exactly.
But what makes me recognizable is the fact that I do try a lot. And most importantly, I try to bring others with me because I realize how difficult it's been for me. So I really try and seek out opportunities where otherwise they wouldn't be there for perhaps people like me or someone that's still emerging. And in that process, I really try my best to take others with me. So I create my own opportunities. And I work really hard. My work ethic really does speak for itself. So I think more than anything, more than how creative is she, are her works good, my work ethic speaks for itself.
Yeah. Amazing. If there was someone listening, especially now to our conversation, and would really like to pursue a similar career path, especially being, you know, having aspirations in the theater, drama, and the arts, what would you say would be the best way to for them to prepare themselves?
It's for them to know themselves and to know their context, know where you come from. I know it's something that we say all the time, but know where you come from. I come from a township with a single mother. Let that be your motivation. Don't come here and forget who you are. Don't come here and forget your aspirations, because already our field is so broad. We have this whole thing in the arts where we have this whole debate about opening up the industry. So there's people who studied for this thing, then there are people who get the gigs because maybe they're influential, whatever the case may be, and that's fine and fair and well. But it's know yourself and know what it takes to actually get there. And speak to people, network, find people that you trust who can mentor you. And something that I recently learned is that not everyone you admire should be your mentor. So pick very, very carefully there. But the first thing is just knowing yourself and not letting it get too far in terms of only when it's third year, which is our final year, you wake up and you start doing things. Do anything and everything, you know, be in student leadership, but always back yourself up with extra work. Our curriculum is there to equip us with all the skills that we need to go into the industry and actually create our own work.
Yes.
But you need to go out there and do things for yourself. And it doesn't matter where you get that experience, but really wake up when you get here. The first thing you need to do is find something to do for yourself and realize who you are, what you came here for, your context, basically. Sorry, I went on and on, but know your context.
No, it makes sense. Put it really, really well. So no job is just good. And I always say every job has its stuff, right? So I'm going to ask you this in two ways, or in two parts, in your two roles. One, as someone in theater and as a theater practitioner, and then as a researcher as well. So with the first part, or with just the question in general, what would you say is the hard or the mundane part of the work that you do?
I think the hard part of, I would say, my day job as an assistant researcher has to be the fact that it's so out of line with what I studied, right? But the beauty of that is that I have transferable skills from what I studied, and that's why I have the job that I have.
Yes.
So it's putting that job in its own pocket and nurturing it and giving it its time, the time that it needs, because it's still serving a purpose. And for me, the whole thing about me getting a job is still being able to work with people and realizing how can I still be effective and use the skills that I have within the space. You know, how can I wake up in the morning with that vigor for this job that is so out of line with my career? What purpose is it serving right now? So I think that's my challenge with my day job. And then I would say that the biggest challenge with being a theater practitioner definitely has to be not only discipline, but funding. Yeah, that's just a challenge that we face every day. Funding, and not only funding for projects, but funding yourself as a person.
Yes.
Because we all have this thing that I'm going to go to a certain city so that I can get opportunities and auditions, but I need to eat. I need a place to sleep, you know? So money basically becomes the biggest challenge when it comes to being an artist that's trying to break through in the industry, because you need support. Yeah.
And that can really also come with frustrations.
Yes, definitely.
Before we wrap up, now share with us one secret about being in drama and theater and being in the arts, something someone on the outside would never guess.
We are really comfortable with our bodies and other people's bodies. consent is a big part of the work that we do, but it's really such soft, nurturing work. And what's interesting is that there are a lot of disciplines that are peppered into drama and theater. So it's a hyper awareness of other humans as well, especially when you're in a rehearsal space and you're cultivating that community with other people. So we are really just very self-aware, very comfortable, very vulnerability is key to being in the field as well. So you'll cry a lot, you know, you'll laugh a lot, but crying is the biggest one in process, because you also research other people's stories as you are making a piece of work. So there's a lot of crying, a lot of self-introspection, lots of reflection, which is actually embedded in the training of being a practitioner.
Yeah, that actually makes sense, because now I think back, I've always just thought they're always just over the top. You know, you come with, if you're crying, you overdo it. If you're laughing, you're over, you know, but it makes sense actually that that comes with the training, because you're, you know, and we always say life is a stage.
Yes.
You know, so there will be certain, I guess, situations or contexts where you appear like you're performing, but we are giving a performance even in our day jobs.
Even in our day jobs.
You know, in everything that we do.
Yeah.
Okay, so that makes sense. Very interesting. Now, Sibahle, we've reached my, what I always say is my favorite, second favorite part of the conversation. I'm going to ask you 5 questions, right? And you don't need to think too hard about this one. So the first thing that comes to your mind, you say it. So it's a this or that.
Okay.
Right. Are you ready?
Yes.
Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Sweet or salty?
Sweet.
Remote or on-site?
Remote.
Finish this for me. Every morning I
wake up and try my best. I wake up and hustle. Yeah.
Last one. A famous artist once said,
the first thing that pops up, commit. Commit, commit, commit. Whether it's to the script, whether it's to your character, whether it's to the exercise, whether it's to the rehearsal, whether it's to the discomfort, commit.
Beautiful. Love it. Sibahle, we've reached the end of our conversation. I want to thank you so much
for
your time and your willingness to share your story and your journey in this conversation. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I know all of our listeners will also enjoy it too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's it for now. Listen to all our episodes to make sure that you get into the fast lane of career success.